You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. Welcome, everybody, if you're just joining us. Happy Friday afternoon. We're almost there. 5 o'clock cometh, y'all. So happy to be here with each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Friday at 3. We've got this little ditty of a segment we like to call Ask Maggie, where you can basically ask me anything. Questions selected by my fabulous senior producer, Jamie Martinson. And I am placed on a timer to try to get me to stop talking, which is admittedly challenging. Welcome back, Jamie. Thanks so much for being here with me. Yeah.
Thank you. Always. You know what they say? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? So if you're already celebrating on this gorgeous day, my goodness, keep celebrating because we all deserve that after the last few days. This week is one of those that feels like it's gone on forever. I don't know why.
My sense of time is blown. Post-COVID and now in the Trump 2.0 era, it's so very, very much all of the time. So now we actually mind the clock, hypothetically, during the Ask Maggie segment.
We try. Well, sometimes we do okay. Most of the time, I have to say, though, you keep it right on time. So everybody can appreciate that. Because some of these are hard. Some of these questions really deserve a lot more time than we give them. And some of these questions really get us thinking about, you know, subjects we can dive further into on the show. So thank you, everybody. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. By the way, if there's a question you want Maggie to answer. Now, we have a good mix. We have some really serious ones this week. And then we have a bunch of people who just want to have some fun. Obviously, they're already 5 o'clock somewhere in the country.
Good for you.
Right. So we're going to start out with this one. Cal, let's give her 30 seconds for this one. This comes to us from Tom in Appleton, and he sent a quick message saying that we've been talking a lot of NPR and PBS today.
Yes.
So, Maggie, he wants to know who your favorite Sesame Street character is. I know. It might take more than that. If somebody asked me this, I'd need like a whole 2 minutes because I could go on forever. But, Cal, 30 seconds for this one, and Maggie, go.
Oh, my gosh. This may be a little bit of a sleeper answer. I thought Beaker, I really liked Beaker because nobody could understand what he was saying. And he was this super nerd. I really liked Beaker. Of course, everybody loves Ernie, right? But I really, really liked Beaker. And maybe I'll throw in also because you couldn't understand him, the Swedish chef. Those are, you know... The oddballs. I always like the oddballs.
I always like the ones that nobody counts on, right?
That's right.
I got to say, I was a huge fan of Oscar the Grouch. Now, not because he had the sunny disposition, but you always knew where you stood with Oscar. And I always appreciated that.
Do you remember like the handful of episodes where they would actually take you into Oscar the Grouch's garbage can?
Yes.
And it was this like cavernous... huge. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. And it happened so very rarely that it was very exciting. I also have a PBS nerdy, I was born in the 70s question for you, Jamie.
Okay.
Do you remember 3-2-1 Contact?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That was one of the best shows ever. I was a PBS kid.
My mom
stayed at home with me, and I was very fortunate to have my mom always around, and I was not a napper. So that was my quiet time. PBS went on at about, because my poor mama needed a break.
Yes.
So PBS went on at about 10 in the morning. It was always background noise where I was playing and doing all my crafts and my art. And then after lunch, then it was quiet time where I was supposed to be laying down, but it was PBS.
It was PBS.
Music, there was dancing. And so that's what I was doing on the couch.
3-2-1 Contact. It's the answer. I mean, it was so good. Now, do you remember sometimes at the end of 3-2-1 Contact, they had these little episodes called the Bloodhound Gang.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I remember the Bloodhound Gang. Yes.
I wonder if we would be breaking any rules, Cal, if we ever found some Bloodhound Gang content, because I know there's a whole ream of listeners who would probably love that. They were so cool. So very cool.
They were as cool as LeVar Burton on Reading Rainbow. Let's
be honest. Heck yes. I won't break into song over that one, to everyone's immeasurable Friday afternoon relief. But
I loved LeVar Burton too.
LeVar on the Reading Rainbow. So many good things on PBS back in the day.
Yes.
Well, we went down a little rabbit hole there, but that's part of what this is all for.
Sesame Street. If you don't go on down a rabbit hole talking about Sesame Street, or at least starting there, you obviously were not doing PBS right back in the day.
Well,
just saying.
And to bring PBS and NPR together, both under threat currently.
Yes.
NPR, I forget which show it is, but if you Googled this, you'd find it. I believe it's Throughline. I think it's Throughline. But they did an entire episode on the origins and the controversy that surrounded Sesame Street when it first came out.
Yes.
Like the child psychologists and educators that got together, and the fact that Sesame Street was banned in Mississippi, Alabama, a whole bunch of states. Why? Because it showed black and white kids hanging out together.
Really, though, when you look at where we're at, have we come? I mean, there are parts of this country and things that are happening right now where you have to say, is this maybe why there is such an assault on PBS and NPR right now? Once again, I mean, those are the things that where my mind goes. My kids were PBS kids, too. They loved Sesame Street. They grew up on Sesame Street as well. So it was just how it was in our house.
Cal, jumping in. Tell us what your favorite PBS shows were, Cal. I mean, we don't
get it on this conversation.
Yeah, just, we need a button that's silent. Cal speaks, so he can shut us up and say what he wants to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a TV kid in general. I watched Nickelodeon, Disney, PBS, everything. But I always remembered Dragon Tales and Zaboomafoo were the big ones.
Yeah.
When I would get home from preschool and make sure I got on the TV.
Very nice. I think most people at some point in your young life consume some PBS. I mean, it was it's such a central part. Now, Nickelodeon didn't exist when I was growing up. So when I saw it as I was getting older and I was like, you mean you get to slime adults and make fun of them? I was very jealous that it wasn't
Pinwheel
available to
and
me.
Today's Special. If there's anybody out there who remembers Pinwheel and Today's Special, we'll have a conversation, because I'm not lying. There are days in this adult world when I will go to YouTube and I'll be like, you know what I need right now in my life? I need a little Jody, Jeff, and Muffy and Sam from Today's Special, and I will watch like a 20-minute episode, and then I could move on with my life. I know it sounds ridiculous.
Do you know what else I miss? We could probably do a whole show with like listener call-ins. We got Michael from the 608 saying like, yeah, heck yes. His daughter liked to watch Wildcraft. The other PBS show that like I was completely fascinated by as a young person, a little bit older than my Sesame Street days, was Nova. You want to know, like, are you a nerd? Did you watch Nova? Was it scheduled listening, watching? And it was before Neil deGrasse Tyson was some cool dude that had an X account, right? There was Nova.
Well, I have to say, my husband just left for the weekend. He's got some storm chasing to do, because besides doing the radio thing, he's also a storm chaser. So he's heading down south. Now I know how I'm going to keep myself occupied for the entire weekend. I'm just going to be on YouTube reminiscing with all of these old shows. That's how this weekend is going down. Just saying.
I love that. I'm definitely this weekend going to pull out some YouTube of the Bloodhound Gang. I loved the Bloodhound Gang.
Absolutely.
Cool. Little trip down memory lane there. Tom from New Berlin getting in on Wishbone. That was his favorite show back in the day. We got some folks on the Book of Faces chiming in. Remember, you can watch Jamie and I and, of course, Silent Cal on YouTube. That's Civic Media's YouTube channel. On Facebook, X, and Insta at Maggie Dawn Show. But let's get back to these questions. We've gone down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, no. That's good. It was a fun rabbit hole. We need those distractions in life because we're going to take a little bit more serious question now.
Okay, I'm putting my thinking cap on.
Yep, okay. So this comes to us from our email, askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And Donna wanted to know this. She says, I heard an economist say that it wasn't a good idea for Trump to start a war with Europe, and for many reasons. One of those reasons, this economist says, though, is that the world currency may no longer be tied to the dollar. Mm. She wants you to speculate on what that could mean for us, like with savings and the economy and anything else. So, Cal, we're going to give her 60 seconds on this one because this is going to be a little bit more of a deep dive.
Clarifying question before we start the timer. Did she mean a war, or did she mean a trade war with Europe? I'm assuming a trade war.
She just says war. So let's go with trade war to answer this one. We'll leave that in your hands. But Cal, 60 seconds for this, for Maggie to answer what this means for all of us in the United States. So go ahead.
Okay. So what we've got going on is economic destabilization with the trade war, with these escalating tariffs. This is really bad for business. It's really bad for economic growth. It's really bad for wages. It's really bad for inflation. When you have the world's reserve currency, which is the U.S. dollar, enacting economic policies which encourage destabilization and are in fact destabilizing, that's not good. What we also have happening at the same time, and they're two separate but related phenomena, is that we have the debt ceiling debate coming up. Now, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we default on our bonds that we've issued. This is U.S. Treasuries. And I'm going to take a little extra time because this is beyond a 60-cent. Yeah. When we have a debt ceiling, if we violate it, right, effectively, we've defaulted on our debt. And to date, that's never happened. But if you combine what I'm going to call really irresponsible, destabilizing economic policy in the form of a trade war, and you couple that with the potential, which seems to becoming more and more like it may happen sometime soon, and i.e. defaulting on our debt, the world will start to look for investors, including foreign governments who buy U.S. treasuries. The largest holder of U.S. treasuries is China. The world investors may start to look for a different reserve currency. And by a reserve currency, I mean the thing you buy that you know is safe no matter what happens. That has been, for the last 100-plus years, always a U.S. treasury bond. If that goes away, if U.S. treasuries and the U.S. dollar are no longer the reserve currency of the world, you're going to see accelerated destabilization, hyperinflation, and all.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Take you to it. Oh, here, YouTube. Bonk. There it is. It's Friday afternoon. I'm slamming into breaks, but we're having a good time with each and every one of you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're hypothetically in a segment called Ask Maggie.
Yes.
That is honchoed by my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, and is responsive to the questions that you all have for me about basically anything you would like.
Right.
You can submit those questions at or to the email address askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I have to give some love to some of our texters. So much fun. Again, we had Michael from the 608, Tom from New Berlin, a whole bunch of other people weighing in with some of their favorite PBS shows growing up or even in the current times. Mark from Prairie du Sac, one of our longtime listeners, says his folks were big on PBS and watched Masterpiece Theater and I, Claudius. Mm-hmm. I loved some Masterpiece Theater, which then got Jamie and I talking about what was that show that Vincent Price and Diane Riggs, I think it was Rigg or Riggs, used to host.
Yeah.
Mystery. Diane Rigg. Diana Rigg. Yep. There, I'll get her name finally right. I'm sorry, Miss Rigg. The PBS series Mystery. I loved that sucker.
So good. It was so good. Doesn't love Vincent Price?
Right? They had that like animated intro thing with this really creepy music. It was so fabulous. I loved it.
Like, if you weren't terrified of Vincent Price after Michael Jackson's Thriller video, right?
Right.
I mean, he was already this enigma and he was already this really cool, right? And then he did that at the end of the Thriller video, and kids everywhere had to be terrified of the man, but he was so awesome.
Talk about a character actor.
Like Mystery Theater.
Yeah, like a character actor very specifically made to do that genre. So fabulous.
Yes.
But
no, he was incredible.
We again, thanks everybody for coming along on our fun digressions. Jamie, I think we do have a couple of more questions.
This is what radio is all about.
Yes,
this is
fun digressions.
It's fun. all right, so this is a good one. I don't know, because I'm going to say...
Do we want to take this new texter's question?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to decide if we want 30 or 60. I'm going to say that you probably have more than one of these. So let's do 60 on this one, okay? That way you can kind of do a deep dive into your favorites. So Jay is a brand new texter from the Eau Claire area, listening on WCFW .2 over there. And I believe it's called The Tap. And I've got some of our engineering folk over in chat right now. So correct me if I'm not wrong. But at any rate, that's what's great about this too, is we have live chat going, so I can always be corrected if I screw it up. But Jay wants to know, Maggie Dawn, what your favorite movie is. This is a great question. So we'll do 60 seconds for this. And Cal, whenever you're ready to go.
Favorite movie. I'm going to start with The Usual Suspects. I absolutely adore that film. Of course, there's the problem of Kevin Spacey. So let's just like ignore the Kevin Spacey of the thing. Love The Usual Suspects. One of my all-time favorites. I tend to love movies that are surprising in some way. The Usual Suspects. I don't know why my brain is like completely blank right now. Let me think here. In the drama area, this is going to sound super cheesy. I loved Terms of Endearment, watched it as an adult. Very moved by that. When you get into like scarier stuff, I was freaked out for probably a year over Silence of the Lambs. I still think that is an absolutely epic film. So incredible from a filmmaking perspective. I'm trying to think of like more modern, you know, like in the last few go rounds of the Oscars, if there was anything that particularly, I'll have to think more about this, because
it's a hard one.
I watch so many movies. I love film. So I watch so many movies. I actually do know what my favorite movie is.
Okay.
I think it took the music to turn off for my brain to clear. I did not see Raging Bull until I was 27 years old. And I remember just like bawling, and that movie, the acting was so overwhelming, as well as the way it was shot. Mm-hmm. I every once in a while I'll think to myself, oh, I got to sit down and watch Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Agreed. Absolutely an amazing, amazing film. Michael from the 608 chiming in with Breakfast Club. That is, you know, when you talk about genre films, what's the director's name for those? I'm blanking again. It's been a long week, y'all.
But John Hughes.
John Hughes.
No.
Yes.
Right? Okay,
that's a John Hughes joint. Yeah. The Breakfast Club and dealing with sort of stereotypes and pigeonholing. That felt very, very close as well. Yes. I love Ferris. I mean, come on. Yeah. Ferris Bueller. For just a good laugh in that same kind of time period and genre. I think I pretty much know all the words that... Now I'm going full head of steam here. Few Good Men.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I know all of the words to that movie to an embarrassing degree. No. I strenuously object. You strenuously... Yes, I strenuously... Oh, well, in that case... Your objection is sustained. Anyways.
The writing is brilliant.
It is.
Brilliant.
That was one of the first Aaron Sorkin breakthrough things. The West Wing was soon to follow, not long after that. Michael also saying Weird Science. Now
that's another good one.
That is of the time. Jay from Eau Claire getting in on the action saying Back to the Future. What a great movie. I didn't love the sequels as much, but the OG was very good.
Right. I was just going to say, 2 and 3 were good, but they couldn't top number one. They couldn't top the first one.
Yes.
And that can be a hot topic for debate for some people, just because some people, you know, really loved number two or whatever.
Yes.
Also, Wayne from Montello says that The Shawshank Redemption, that's another really good one.
Yes.
I was a huge fan of Shawshank Redemption as well. And I have to say, if you like a good chick flick, as they like to be called, Steel Magnolias, you couldn't beat that cast. That was an amazing
I love it in play form, which it was before. Yes. It was, but I think there's something really intimate and powerful about that.
Yep.
Wow, we could do movies for a very, very
I think we just came up with a bunch of shows time. Honestly,
yeah, just on film. Oh my gosh, it's the mystery music. Oh my goodness.
So good.
I forgot one of my absolute favorites, Do the Right Thing. What a powerful movie. I think we just passed, it's like 25th anniversary or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh yeah, that. Oh my gosh. Are we out of time already for Ask Maggie?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. Thanks to every one of you. We got Terry Barr coming up next. So good. I remember it like it was yesterday. Terry Barr coming up next with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Friday. It's 3:30. It's also beautiful outside if you're in southern Wisconsin. Maybe a little breezy in your neck of the woods, but I'm glad to bring back to the show my good friend and yours, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry. Ooh, I don't know that we've got Terry Cal. If we can, let's give her a buzz or get her on the horn. In the meanwhile, as we work to get Terry on the line, I, of course, spent the break thinking about my favorite films since I was asked in the last segment of Ask Maggie. And all of a sudden, I had like a flood of films that were coming to mind. I also want to just thank everybody on the text line. Some great movies. Favorites coming through. Heather's, Scott from Madison, Mark from Prairie du Sac talking about Princess Bride. Can you believe I have never seen the film Princess Bride? I think I need to put it on the reading list or on the watching list for the weekend. Here are a couple of my other favorites. My brain finally turned on in the movie category. The Mission. Does anybody remember? I mostly was obsessed with the soundtrack for the movie The Mission, which was really, really beautiful. And of course, Pulp Fiction. Short story about going to see Pulp Fiction. I went with one of my best friends from high school really shortly after it had come out. And the only place that we could get tickets was, I think, Westtown, way out in Waukesha County. And she and I, and the theater was totally full. Totally full. There's Terry. I'll finish my story about watching Pulp Fiction, and then we'll get to what's good local, because I'm in the middle of the story now, of course. So we go out there to watch Pulp Fiction. I think it was like within a week of when it was released. Theater is full. Only two seats that were remaining that were together were in like the second or third row. So we watch this thing with, you know, our necks craned up, which is an impressive way to watch Pulp Fiction. And if you had never seen a Quentin Tarantino movie before, it's like pretty shocking. It's all this gory violence, but it's also very funny. Well, my buddy and I, we had a very similar kind of off-center sense of humor. So we were laughing our butts off through this film because it's so absurd and over the top and weird. Especially when Samuel L. Jackson ends up with like brains and his Jerry Curl. I mean, like laughing our butts off. Okay. So we leave the theater and we both were like, that is one of the best things we've ever seen. What was that? And as we're walking out, we can hear this woman, a couple of, you know, groups of people behind us. Jerry, she's talking to her husband. Jerry, those are those two girls who were laughing through the whole movie. Like, very offended by the fact that we were cracking up so hard. That was my Pulp Fiction first experience. One of my favorites. Big fan of Tarantino's. With that, we've now got Terry Barr on the line. So good to see you and hear you again, my friend.
I think Quentin Tarantino was in my computer right now. So you
basically,
know how that goes.
Yes, wreaking havoc, as it were.
Movie, though, where when you run into friends who have loved the movie as much as you, you can all repeat the lines back and forth to each other.
Yeah, there's, you know, and there used to be a bit of that around TV, too, like literally water cooler. You would talk Seinfeld. About these things. Yes, the sign to the puffy shirt. Everybody knows about the puffy shirt. But yes, it's nice. I've certainly enjoyed going back to the movie theater every once in a while now post-COVID. Mm-hmm. It's a very different experience. There, the guy who won the Oscar for best director and best film of the year, he talked about in one of his acceptance speeches this year, there is something to not streaming a film, but going to the theater, seeing it on a big screen and sitting there with a bunch of other people that you don't know, having this shared experience. I think he's absolutely right.
Well, here's something where you can share an experience.
Love it. Tell me more.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
It's happening in northeast central Wisconsin, little town by the name of New London.
I know New London.
And if you have not heard, this is such a fun idea. New London becomes New Dublin on Monday when the town leprechauns go to the city signs and change the signs from New London to New Dublin. They call that their shenanigans to kick off the entire week of Irish festival. So I did talk with one of the gentlemen there who's in charge of this whole thing. He's with the Shamrock Club of New London, New Dublin. His name is Ryan Lanning. And here's what he tells me about it. He's so fun to talk with.
It started over 40 years ago, and it's just been a tradition ever since that on the Monday of our St. Patrick's Week is we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin. And then they visit various schools and nursing homes, and basically everywhere they can go, they go and visit everybody, get them excited and pumped up for the week and start getting things ready.
How excited are people sort of leading up to what they know you'll do in the exchange of the signs, but then also knowing you go to schools and all these other visits that the leprechauns make? I love that.
Extremely excited. You know, we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about. And truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans we like to pull. There will be plenty of them to be had on Monday, that's for sure. It's just a great time for everybody.
You sign off on your email with a word. What is that?
Cilantro. Cilantro, and that's Gaelic for health. Usually if you're in an Irish pub and you order a drink, the bartender, you could toast your neighbor to say the word cilantro, and that's how you would toast your drink. It just means to health.
Let's say it again. Cilantro.
Cilantro.
Cilantro,
right,
Terry.
Maybe.
Yes.
You as well. I'm so excited to have a new word to use on Monday.
Absolutely. Well, to me, every day is a good day for a cheers to your health and a little cilantro. Or if that's a little bit too wordy, most people will get the joke if you just tell them cilantro and you click your glasses.
Now, Maggie, I know this leads up to something fun you are doing for St. Patrick's Day.
Well, first, credit where credit is due. I simply said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And Jamie, my senior producer, put all of it together. We're going to have live Irish music actually in the studio, which is fabulous. We're going to talk to someone who knows a ton about Irish history and heritage. We're also going to talk about hurling, which is this sort of ancient Gaelic sport that is a weird mishmash, at least appears to us Americans like a weird mishmash of a few things. Very unique. I have a couple of friends that play that are hurlers. So that'll be a super fun show. And for a half an hour, we're going to open it up to callers to share about their own family heritage and genealogy. My mom is quite a genealogist, and I was very blessed to know and see documentation from a very early age about my Irish heritage. So I'll share a little of that and invite people to share some of their background, because almost everybody in Wisconsin can check a box like Irish, German, Polish. I don't care what you look like today. You're probably checking at least one of those boxes. So it's definitely, I think, a shared point of connection for us Wisco folk here.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to listen to your show on Monday.
Please do, Terry.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'm really pumped and extremely thankful to Jamie and all of our special guests for helping make it a reality. For everybody that's listening, I'm very excited. So don't forget to tune in on Monday. We'll be celebrating St. Patty's together. Maybe I'll bring in a Reuben sandwich to Manja on the air to mix some cultural heritage together.
Oh, I love it. Do we have time for one more?
Of course we do, Terry. Go for it.
Good. I love this. Thank you, Maggie.
Of course.
Here's another thing. If you want to get out, be with people. I know you and I love music, so that's why I kind of wanted to bring this one into our discussion. It's the BAMMIES. Okay, so, you know, we have the Grammys.
Yes.
We the Whammies, Wisconsin, yes, music. We have the MAMAs, that's the Madison Area Music Association. Well, now the BAMMIES, that is Northeast Wisconsin. All the counties of Northeast Wisconsin are involved. Second year for the BAMMY Awards, but it's grown so quickly. This tells you what music is already meaning to Northeast Wisconsin. They have grown so quickly in 1 year that it's now a two-night event.
Wow.
And it's coming up this next week, March 19th, 20th, 7 o'clock both nights at the Tarleton Theater in downtown Green Bay. And there are 43 different entries. So they're splitting the list. So some of the winners will be announced Wednesday. Some of the other winners announced Thursday. Buy a ticket. You can go to both nights, as much or whatever you may want. A lot of performances too.
I was going to say, this is a great way to see a bunch of local live music from all different genres and backgrounds. How fabulous.
Isn't it wonderful? I know, great things. And now that the weather keeps getting nicer,
yes,
we just are getting into that. Ooh, I can't wait for spring and summer festivals.
Yeah, you're making me feel more springy, Terry, because if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Insta, or Facebook, you can see Terry's beautiful, slightly bared arm, which makes me feel like spring is here, looking fabulous, my friend. What are you up to this week? First of all, I wanted to ask, why do they call it the BAMMIES? I'm assuming, is it something like something to do with the bay that is Green Bay?
You are good. It's the Bay Area Music, yes, Association. So you
fantastic
got it.
I was thinking maybe it's interesting because I does the Milwaukee land area have music, because I don't think that I've heard of such. I'm curious now.
The Milwaukee area started the Whammies.
Okay, they'll just claim responsibility for the state. Okay, got it.
Yes. You got it. Yeah.
So we spent some goodly amount of time on some favorite films, went down a rabbit hole. Terry, do you have one that pops to the top of your mind as a favorite film?
I think you and I have talked about both of these. I have two favorite films in the last, 8 months.
Okay.
Neither are big, like Oscar kind of films. They're independent Wisconsin movies. I love that Green and Gold film.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And we've talked about this a while ago,
Just a Bit Outside.
Those are my two favorites right now. I don't think I've seen anything that tops it. Maybe it's just a little bit of the home in my heart.
Oh yeah. Nothing wrong with being a homer. That is a true blue thing. I think if you are a baseball buff, I can watch consume an incredible amount of baseball films and documentaries. I was just thinking about the Miracle Mets the other day. Back when the Mets first started, they were an expansion team, and the manager their first year was like, does anybody around here even know how to play baseball? And within, I think it was less than a decade, like 6-8 years after the Mets, the very first expansion team in Major League Baseball, they ended up winning a World Series. It was this come from nowhere, has all the trappings of the American story that we all love, of the underdog. I actually, my brain keeps working on movies that I love a lot. And like, do you remember Clerks? Speaking of Silent Cal, Clerks with Jay and Silent Bob. I mean, that's where the idea, because we're going to get Cal a button, Terry, which I think you'll agree with, it will immediately mute me. And then Cal can say whatever he wants. And I think we should get like a big voiceover that's Silent Cal Speaks. So I have to shut up. And that way he can get his two cents in.
I can see Cal smiling if anybody's watching on YouTube. Yeah.
Cal, the man that runs the board and helps me out when I'm slamming into breaks because I'm not watching the clock because we're all having so much gosh darn fun. Terry, it's always my pleasure. And I hope a great pleasure for everyone listening to hear your stories about what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Oh, everyone listening, you too. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, folks, we'll be back with the last segment of the week of the Maggie Dawn Show. I got some closing thoughts related to Donald Trump's very partisan address to the Department of Justice that ended just moments ago. Keep it locked. When we come back, I'll share those thoughts with each and every one of you and send us off into the weekend on a good note. Trust, there's a good note. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's Friday. Thank goodness. We've made it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show. You got Dom Salvia coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope you all have a beautiful weekend. Maybe get outside, enjoy some of this nice weather we've got today. Because don't worry, by Sunday, apparently there'll be snow flurries because it's Wisconsin. Amy from Madison texting in on the text line saying the correct pronunciation of the Irish cheers to your good health is slancha. That's how I've always pronounced it. So slancha, slanchacha, or whatever it is. Hey, we got St. Paddy's Day coming up on Monday. I'm going to have a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We got live Irish music, discussion of Irish heritage. We're going to talk about hurling. So much fun. Do not miss it. But we do have a bit of political business to conclude our week with. Donald Trump, about 15 minutes ago or so, concluded his remarks before the DOJ. To put it mildly, it was a partisan diatribe. You know, Pam Bondi, during her confirmation hearings, talked about independence and objectivity and all that kind of stuff. That was all baloney. They didn't mean any of that. And you can tell that by listening to Pam Bondi give the opening remarks before Donald Trump gave his partisan rhetoric stump speech at the DOJ. There is no independence here. None. Zero, zippo, zilch. The DOJ and the FBI have become simply arms of Donald Trump's personal political machine. That's it. That ain't the way it's supposed to work. Not ever. Say what you will about Joe Biden. Say what you will about any law enforcement officer in particular. We all have our own individual political views. But they're not even trying to present a fig leaf of objectivity here because there is none. And I'm going to use an example that comes out of Brad Schimmel's mouth as to why independence of attorneys general is essential to the functioning of our constitutional republic. This is Brad Schimmel. Many years ago, he's the current candidate, a current candidate for the Supreme Court. That election coming up on April 1st. Brad Schimmel, in this next bit that you're about to hear, was asked, if you had been Wisconsin's attorney general back in the 40s and 50s, and you were asked to defend Wisconsin's ban on interracial marriage. Would you have done so? And Brad Schimmel's answer is yes. Let's take a listen.
But if you had been attorney general in, say, the 1950s, in a state that did not allow interracial marriage, do you think the proper role of an attorney general then was to not put himself or herself into the mix and say this is wrong? Even
it is. And I understand the argument.
Your job is to uphold the law, even if it's something that we might look back in the future as absurd or something.
Well, it might be distasteful to me.
Okay.
But
right. I appreciate your answer.
I've got to stay consistent with that as the state's lawyer. It's not my job to pick and choose.
Okay. That is a bunch of garbage. I know this because, one, I'm a lawyer, and two, I've been a government lawyer. As attorneys, whether you're Brad Schimmel as a former attorney general of the state of Wisconsin, if your name is Pam Bondi, current attorney general for these United States of America, or you are Maggie Dawn, corporation counsel for Milwaukee County, here's the thing. As a lawyer, you have and swear an ethical duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. If you believe that the legislature has enacted a law that is contrary to the Constitution of the United States of America, you have a duty to tell your client, the legislature, and the president that. If the president or the legislature asks you to do something illegal, you have an ethical, moral, and constitutional obligation to say no. That's the point. This is the problem. And if Brad Schimmel was an utterly unqualified and ill-disposed to ever be on the state Supreme Court, if that clip doesn't show you that, I don't know what else does. You would have defended a ban on interracial marriage, even though you found it, I'm sorry, distasteful? I've got another word for you, Brad. Immoral, unconstitutional, inhuman, lacking of any sort of central organizing principle, that you have a job to do that isn't to follow immoral and unconstitutional laws to defend them mindlessly. If you can't find your way to that, Brad, do I trust you with fair maps? With a woman's bodily autonomy? No, I absolutely do not. And I don't think anybody else here should either. Now, I promised you to end us on a hopeful note going into the weekend. And it is this. Despite people like Brad Schimmel, the weak, people like Donald Trump, the weak, Pam Bondi, the weak, those lacking of a moral core. There have always been people that have stood up and said, even when difficult, even when personally costly, have stood up and told the truth and stood for our Constitution. We are those people. You are that person. And your job is to make sure that on April 1st, you and anybody that you can drag to the polls has shown up and voted for morality, for constitutional principles, and for fairness. You are that person. Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.